Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 802, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. Of course, we depend upon the power of the Holy Ghost along with these commentaries, which we believe the authors and the editors depended upon the power of the Holy Spirit as well. Beloved, this podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ preached first and best when he said the most loving, most important, most wonderful words ever said to mankind. We find it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ preached the gospel first. He brought the gospel, and he preached it best. Jesus Christ, my dear friend, preached the gospel so well and so succinctly in this verse, in these few words, that he not only preached the gospel and explained it in few words, but he even gave the history of the gospel. He said, for God so loved the world. That is the beginning of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And dear friend, if you are not saved by the grace of God, if you are on your way to a devil's hell because of your sins, if you don't have the assurance that when you die, you are going to heaven, allow me to share with you how to get saved from hell today and get a home in heaven freely by the grace of God. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned against God. We all have broken God's Ten Commandments, such as lying, dishonesty, stealing, lusting and coveting in our hearts for people and things that don't belong to us, being envious of what other people have, dishonoring and disrespectful and disobedient to parents, having bad attitudes towards parents, dishonoring and being disobedient to God and taking God's name in vain. I just shared with you five of God's Ten Commandments, and I would venture to say that we all have broken them all, from the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, from even Joel Osteen on down, the pastor of the largest church in America. We all have sinned against God, haven't we? Why don't we just go ahead on and confess it and admit it and shame the devil? Because we have sinned against God. And so secondly, beloved, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. And what a judgment that is. On yesterday, we saw two funerals take place for preachers. Please understand that death is a judgment. Death is a terrible thing. Make no mistake about it. Do not try to romanticize death. Death is terrible in every way. It is painful, oftentimes providing pain for the rest of the lives of those who are left behind. Death is a terrible thing, and we die because of sin. We don't die because of the coronavirus. We don't die because of cardiac arrest. We don't die because of a car accident. We don't die because of cancer. We die because of sin in us, our sinful nature and our sinful choices that we make. So there's a punishment for sin. And then after we die, if we have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of our sins, we go to that awful place called hell, the torments of hell, eternal death, the place of torment, the place of pain, the place of darkness. And the saddest aspect of hell to me is that once you go there, you can't get out. It's over. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's no limbo. It's heaven or hell. And you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life to go to heaven. And the greatest sin that you can commit is to not believe in Jesus Christ, not receive his free gift of salvation, to reject the love of God and the love that Jesus Christ showed for us. When he suffered, he bled, and he died a cruel death because of our sins, not because of his, because he never committed a sin in word, thought, or deed. I assure you, as sure as you're looking at me right now, you will go to hell if you reject the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, in hell, but have everlasting life. That is the greatest sin you will ever commit, not believing in Christ, not receiving God's love through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can mark that down. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. right now as I speak. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ, by the way, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than all of the prophets of the Bible, in the Bible, all of the preachers, all of the evangelists, all of the apostles. He preached more on hell and talked more about hell than any of the writers in the Bible. Jesus Christ, in fact, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us and he does not want us to go to hell. He wants us to go to heaven with him, and he wants you to trust him as Savior. He wants you to believe the gospel that he has provided for you, the good news that he, being sinless, took upon himself your sin and mine, all of our ugliness, wickedness, and ungodliness upon himself. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And he does not want you to miss that. And he just showed you in that passage that I read earlier about hell, how serious hell is. And he knows for certain that that's where you will go if you reject him and don't believe in him. There's no other place for you to go. And so if you reject the love of God and the love of Christ and the free gift of salvation that they are providing you, that's your greatest sin, my dear friend. And you will spend eternity in hell, a place so bad that Jesus Christ said you'll be better off to avoid sin, if you have to amputate your hand and amputate your foot and go to heaven by believing in Jesus Christ, by believing in me, Jesus said. Maimed, if you will, in a wheelchair or on crutches, and with one of those manufactured arms or legs, limping. You'd be better off amputating your hand and your foot and believe in me and go to heaven than to go to hell with both hands and both feet. That's how bad hell is. That's how terrible hell is. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where their worm, their maggots die not, and the fire is never quenched. Is your sin worth that, dear friend? And this goes on forever. Just picture maggots crawling all over you while you're burning in hell, and the fire is not quenched, and the maggots don't die in the fire. It goes on and on and on, the torment and the pain. He described hell as a place where Jesus Christ describes hell as a place where there's weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth because of the pain of hell. Here's the deal, dear friends. Either somebody's going to pay for sin, your sin. Either you're going to pay for it in hell, or you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, because he's already paid for sin. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." He is the sacrificial Passover lamb for the whole world. If you believe in him, God's wrath and judgment will pass over you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shall be saved. So hell is a very serious matter. Hell is no joke. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. And hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ again said, the most loving, most wonderful, most important words ever said in the history of the world to mankind. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To show you the simplicity of the gospel, notice what Jesus Christ says here. He says, whosoever, that means anybody at any time. That includes you, red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in God's sight. God loves us all, no matter what we have done, no matter what we're doing, who we did it with. Whosoever, that includes you, believeth in him. Whosoever believeth in him. The word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him. Should not perish. That is, you will not go to hell where you deserve to go, where I deserve to go, but have everlasting life. That's a free gift from God. And all you have to do, my dear friend, according to Jesus Christ himself, is believe in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. How about it today, dear friend? Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will, as you believe in your heart. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. I have to emphasize that because I was raised in church. I heard the word or the phrase being saved or get saved. But I always had the question, saved from what? Saved to what? They never told me. I didn't know it was about getting saved from hell and getting saved to heaven. I probably would have gotten saved earlier if they had told me that. But they made it a religious thing. Saved meant you had to wear dresses and go to church every Sunday and do certain things and don't do certain things. I never knew. And I almost died and went to hell at least twice, maybe more than that. For whosoever shall call, the word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, dear friend, I want to strongly encourage you, if you are not saved, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get up and go to some beautiful ornate church to make it official. You don't even have to get baptized to get saved. The thief on the cross got saved, and he never got down off the cross to get baptized. He went straight to paradise with Jesus. He never joined the church. He never sung in a choir. He never did any great works for the church. Never gave any money to the church. Because salvation wrought by Jesus Christ is a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. You can't do anything for it but just believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt so that you would not have to pay for it in hell. So believe in him right now, right where you are. Millions have done so, and you can too. And just pray a little prayer called the sinner's prayer as you're believing in your heart. And this prayer is nothing but an expression of what you are doing in your heart, believing in Christ. Ask him to save your soul today, and he will. I'll be more than happy to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. In fact, Lord, I have committed all of those sins that the preacher talked about earlier. And I've committed more than that, as you know. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. For not only do I believe that you suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, but you were buried and rose on the third day. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to change from the inside out. Help me to repent of my sins past and present. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, those of you who are new Christians who just believed on Christ, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free download. You don't have to pay a dime. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email that to us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails, whatever's on your site, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, Please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, at this time, we will resume our service, standing between the living and the dead service, already in progress, if you will, at the point of the Scripture and the Sense podcast. And today we're reading Zechariah chapter 1, verse 12. Those of you who just got saved, you can join us in Bible study right now. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Give us your energy, your strength, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to understand your holy word and to apply it to our lives, and to have a mind to share it with others, and to preach and to proclaim your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and forsake. Amen. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 12 is the scripture passage of focus this morning. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? Dear friends, that was Zechariah chapter 1, verse 12. Now here is the sense of it. Here is, if you will, the understanding of it, with the help of the power of the Holy Ghost and the use of the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Walford and Dr. Zuck, editors. The intercession of the angel of the Lord is unusual, for this divine messenger is usually seen representing God to people rather than functioning in an intercessory role representing people to God. That the divine messenger addressed the Lord Almighty in prayer supports a distinction of persons in the Godhead and contributes to the implicit doctrine of the Trinity in the Old Testament. The lament formula, how long, expresses the deep need of Israel to have the Lord act on her behalf. The 70 years of promised captivity were over, but the city was still not rebuilt. And this is far deeper than what we know, and we will, by the grace of God, pick this up tomorrow and include more information. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Hide it in our hearts. Help us to think on it and to meditate on it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand his word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies. Death to so many things before you die. Death to marriages. Death to relationships. Death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21, 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So, Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments, and so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your Holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time.